Well, before I start this morning, I joked with a couple people that this sermon comes with a disclaimer, because I walked in my front door at 5 o'clock this morning after driving the Quakerdale basketball team to Kansas and back. And so I'm running on about 3 hours of sleep. So Joe's got a challenge card in the back. He's going to raise it if I say something that doesn't make sense, and we can move on from there. So, but it was a good experience. Their bus is in a ditch right now, but it's right in front of Quakerdale, so we made it back. I'm sure there's a sermon illustration in there somewhere, but I'm too tired to think of it right now. So today's sermon is called Being Peace, and it centers on the theme of the second Sunday of Advent, which is peace. And so the scripture we're going to be in is Psalm 122. So if you want to turn there and follow along, I'm just going to start by reading David's words in Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord. Our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem." Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There stand the thrones for judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. I remember going to church when I was young, and part of our church service was a time of greeting. And we said the same words every week, and I was probably younger than Siler, and so this was a really exciting time for me. But we would say, peace be with you, and we would extend our hand. And then somebody else would extend their hand back to you, and you would shake their hands, and they would say, and also with you. And so I turned it into a game where I saw how many people I could say peace be with you to before the priest got up and started talking again. And so, but that's a memory that I remember. And the reality of peace is pretty well implied in the church setting. I think when we come to the church building, the theme of peace is one that rings strong. And especially, not quite 2 weeks off of Thanksgiving, where some of you might still be experiencing the results of the tryptophan from the turkey. And probably your houses have all been cleaned, your family has all went on their way, and you're finding rest. This theme of peace might be a little easier to understand. But that's not true in many parts of the world. There are areas where conflict rages, communities and nations, and even within individuals, are suffering from a lack of peace. Sometimes there's wars that are waged for power, and other times they simply end in chaos and tragedy, with no redemption or closure at all. But even when conflict ends, there's often no peace, because peace is not simply the absence of conflict. It's so much more than that. And I did a word study on the Hebrew word for peace, shalom. It's a word we hear often, and we think that we probably have a pretty good understanding of it, but I found out that while I did, I didn't. And so I just want to share some of the things I found with you. Shalom is about a wholeness, an entire peace, a surrounding peace. It's about healing, it's about redemption. Together, these themes make up the idea of shalom. And we don't generally mean all these things when we say peace be with you. I mean, do we think when we offer peace to someone that we're offering them a wholeness in Christ? That we're offering them healing, redemption? Or is it just something nice that we say? Often we settle for a shallow form of peace, which is really a facade which we use to suppress our true feelings of conflict and inner turmoil. And as a result, we suppress the idea of true community, this idea of wholeness in the body of Christ, because we don't fully comprehend the kind of peace that God really wants for us. The kind of peace that God wants demands that we be real with ourselves and with one another. It requires true listening and compassionate speaking. It doesn't settle for anyone to be left out or left behind. It's not only the absence of conflict, but it's also the presence of healing and growth. Isaiah says in chapter 2, verse 4, "He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore." This is the kind of peace that we as the church yearn for. Actually, this verse is the verse that the Friends peace testimony is centered on. The idea of beating their tools of war into tools of harvest and growth. This is the hope that we spoke of last Sunday when we talk about the Sunday of hope. This is what we're hoping for. The return of Christ who brings peace to the conflict of the world. And yet while we often yearn for this and while we often hope for it, we really don't do much to see it happen. Instead, we opt for instant gratification. We turn a blind eye to the enemies of peace, and then we say, "Peace be with you." During Advent, we have an opportunity. Advent is a time of waiting. Advent means coming, and it's the coming of Christ. And so this is a time where we wait for Christ to come, a time where we prepare ourselves so that when he comes, he can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," instead of, "I never knew you." While we wait with hope and expectation, we can do a number of things. We can look for the light that shines in unexpected places. There's many opportunities for God's light to shine, especially in this season, and I shared a few last week. This is the time, more than any other, that those without are more aware that they're without. And those with can bless those. We can prepare for the coming of God who will bring peace on earth and goodwill to all. We can say no to a culture of instant gratification, to the temptation to skip the hard part of this season in favor of the fun part. The church, the body of Christ, is where we recognize the grief and the darkness of this world, and we proclaim God's peace, joy, and love that are coming and have already come. These are the reasons we observe Advent. This is a season where malls and radio stations often skip the true message in favor of jingle bells and reindeer. And my prayer is that we as a church don't do that. The song that Lucas and Carrie sang this morning really speaks of what our minds and hearts should be focused on in this season. Not only the Christ that came 2,000 years ago, but the Christ that dwells among us today. While we wait for God to come and bring peace, we can't forget that God has already come. He broke into our world and he shined a great light, and then he left his Holy Spirit so that we can be the body of Christ in this world. So that we don't just wait for peace, but that we make peace, that we work for peace, and that we are peace. In today's scripture, David rejoices at simply going to the house of the Lord. He rejoices at going to the house of the Lord. But on this side of the cross, Christ came, left his Holy Spirit. Now we don't just go to the house of the Lord. The Lord dwells within us. We are the house of the Lord. So how much more should we rejoice than David? Just as David was transformed from one among a crowd to a proclaimer of peace, when we pray, when we worship, when we interact, when we work for God, we are transformed from those who simply wait to those who embody the truth of God's grace for all people. The promise of peace for a world that cannot fully comprehend the kind of peace that God wants for them. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in whatever way we can. Does anybody recognize that? That's our mission statement. That's what we as a church, Bangor Liberty Friends, feel called to do. That sounds like we need to be peace to those we encounter. So a question arises, how can we be peace in a world of ever-present violence? And I don't have an all-in-one package, nice little gift-wrapped answer for that. But I do know that God speaks to different people in different ways. And I've shared that with you before. That's why sometimes I shake up how we do the prayer. Sometimes I try to follow the Holy Spirit because I know that God ministers to us in different ways. And out of that truth, he might be speaking to you to address a certain situation that none of us recognize. And so I don't think that the December bell has quite come out yet, has it? No. But in my article in the December bell, I talk about this. I talk about taking time in this season to stop, to come before the Lord and allow him to minister to your heart. And out of this, he might speak to you in a specific way. Out of your gifts, out of the things that he's blessed you with, out of the passions that he's given you, that none of us can understand. But that's your ministry. That's how you can be peace. And several weeks ago, actually I think it was my second sermon that I ever gave here, I talked about the idea of being a pastor of one, where you can have a special relationship with one other individual and you can lead them in the areas of discipleship and minister to them. This is a great way to start that, to pray for God to open doors, to challenge your heart, to identify one person in your life that you can be a pastor to bring peace to their life, to be peace for them. Another way to be peace is to recognize where there is brokenness and work towards healing, to conspire with God to reconcile and lift up. God invites us to conspire with him. Isn't that awesome? He thinks so much of us that he wants us to be part of his plan of redemption, his plan of bringing peace to this world. It's a lot of responsibility, and it's a little bit overwhelming. But we should feel blessed. The other day I was driving, and I was in Des Moines, actually, on my way back from seeing Ted, and I was listening to, I don't remember what radio station it was, one of the Christian stations in Des Moines. And I remember the guy on the radio asking, what is your hope for Christmas? And he wanted people to call in and tell them what their hope was for Christmas. And then you enter into a contest and win something, which is, I guess it's a way to get people to call in. And I picked up my phone several times to call, and the same thought and theme kept going through my head, but for some reason I didn't call. But then I started preparing for this sermon, and I thought, man, that really fits. And my hope, my deepest prayer for Christmas is that those with feel compelled and challenged to bless those without. What a way to bring peace. Can you imagine being in this season and not being able to bless your children, to bless your family, to put food on the table, to work, to wonder if your kids are even going to have a Christmas? That is the lack of peace. And we have an opportunity as those with to bless those without. A very specific opportunity right outside the door as you walk down the stairs. There's a board with little sticky notes on it that you can grab off, and it has a name and an item and how old that person is and what they need. And that's just one of the many ways that we have opportunity this season to bless those people. In many ways, the world lives in Advent, though we often don't recognize it. We're always waiting for something or someone to do something for the world to get better. And we talked about that this morning in our Sunday school class. We recognize something that needs to be done, and we always think somebody will do that. And somebody pointed out that we as Americans are pretty good at passing the buck. And my prayer is that we as Christians don't get labeled with that same stereotype, that we don't pass the buck, that if God's tugging on your heartstrings, that you recognize that and that you step up to the challenge. to proclaim Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior in whatever way you can. It's more than just talking about it. I want to close with a story that I found that kind of sums up the idea of peace that we can offer to people. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. The challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from far and wide. Finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judges uncovered one peaceful scene after another. While the viewers clapped and cheered, the tensions grew. Only two pictures remained veiled. As the judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mirror-smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep grazed undisturbed. Surely this was the winner. The man with the vision uncovered the second painting, himself, and the crowd gasped in surprise. Could this be peace? A tumultuous waterfall cascaded down a rocky precipice. The crowd could almost feel its cold penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind, and rain. In the midst of the thundering noises and bitter chill, a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of its branches reached out in front of the torrential waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its power. A little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. We are the body of Christ. We are called, we're equipped, and we're empowered to be peace. Not just to offer peace in passing, not just to say, peace be with you, but to be peace, to conspire with God, to bring peace to those that don't get to experience it very often. And just like this bird, while we know that the world is spinning all around us and there's chaos everywhere, we have a center in Christ. And we have a unique opportunity to tap into the unlimited source of peace. And that's not something he expects us to keep for ourselves. He blesses us with that so that we might bless others with that same peace. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for your peace that surpasses all understanding. There are times in our lives where we shouldn't have peace, where we should have anything but peace. And yet that's what you offer. In the midst of chaos, we see those calm waters from that first painting. Lord, help us not to overlook opportunities to be peace to other people. Not only in this season of Christmas, but Lord, for the remainder of our lives, may we recognize the gift that you offer us, and that it's not just to keep for ourselves, but it's to extend to other people so that they too can experience your love and your grace and your mercy. And Lord, as a church, we feel called to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in whatever way we can. And Lord, I pray that we allow you to be creative in the last part of that sentence, in whatever way we can. Not to think that something is too small or too big or too crazy or that it won't work, but to trust your leadings and to really step out in faith. Lord, we're thankful that you allow us to conspire with you to offer your peace and love to other people. And I pray, Lord, that we are ready to accept the challenge. And in the midst of it all, we accept your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.